All right. Yeah, let's go ahead and get started.
Recording in progress.
Well, good evening. I call to order the City Council meeting of the City of Atascadero, and I will ask Councilmember Bourbeau to lead us in a pledge to the flag.
Yes, please stand if you're able and join me in saluting our nation's flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States.
City Council meeting.
And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Bourbeau.
Here.
Councilmember Darris.
Here.
Councilmember Funk.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Newsom is absent. Mayor Moreno.
Here. Thank you. Well, if you're attending here in person, we welcome you. If you're listening on the webinar or you're on the phone, we welcome all of you. If you happen to be on the radio or maybe watching on Channel 20 or on YouTube, and you would like to participate this evening, either in community forum or commenting on one of the items that is on our agenda, you can do so by calling in to Zoom. And that phone number is 669-900-6833. Let me go ahead and give that again. It's 669-900-6833. And when you do, you'll use a meeting ID. And that meeting ID is 889-2347-9018. Once again, meeting ID 889-2347-9018. I somehow feel like I should tattoo that somewhere on me. You can also, if you have the agenda packet on the front of the agenda, it has that information as well. When you do call in, let us know what item you're wishing to speak on. With that, I will ask for a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll move approval of the agenda.
Motion by Councilmember Bourbeau, a second by Councilmember Funk. We will waive the reading in full of all ordinances appearing on this agenda, and the titles of the ordinances will be read aloud by the city clerk at the first reading after the motion and before the city council votes. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Bourbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. We have two presentations tonight. The first is a proclamation declaring October 9th through 15th, 2022 as Fire Prevention Week. And we have our very own Fire Chief Casey Bryson here to accept. And I have asked Councilmember Darris to offer that proclamation.
Thank you, Mayor. So the proclamation for October 9th through the 15th, 2022 is Fire Prevention Week. Whereas the City of Atascadero is committed to ensuring the safety and security of all those living and visiting our state, and whereas fires is a serious public safety concern both locally and nationally, and homes are the locations where people are at the greatest risk from fire, and whereas home fires caused 2,580 civilian deaths in the United States in 2020, according to the National Fire Protection Association, and fire departments in the United States responded to 356,500 home fires. And whereas smoke alarms sense smoke well before you can, alerting you to danger in the event of fire in which you may have as little as 2 minutes to escape safety, and whereas working smoke alarms cut the risk of dying in reported home fires in half, they cut the risk of, in half. And whereas Atascadero residents should be sure everyone in the home understands the sounds of the alarms and knows how to respond. And whereas Atascadero residents who have planned and practiced a home fire escape plan are more prepared and will therefore be more likely to survive a fire. And whereas Atascadero residents will make sure that their smoke and carbon monoxide alarms meet the needs of all their family members, including those with sensory or physical disabilities. And whereas Atascadero first responders are dedicated to reducing the occurrence of home fires and home fire injuries through prevention and protection and education. And whereas residents that are responsive to public education measures are better able to take personal steps to increase their safety from fire, especially in their homes. And whereas in the 2022 Fire Prevention Week theme, Fire Won't Wait, Plan Your Escape, effectively serves to remind Atascadero residents it is important to have home fire escape plan. Now, therefore, on behalf of the City Council, The City Council hereby proclaims October 9th through 15th, 2022 as Fire Prevention Week and call upon the people of Atascadero to participate in prevention activities at home by recognizing fire won't wait, plan your escape, and to support the many public safety incentives and efforts of Atascadero Fire and Emergency Services. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember. Welcome, Chief Bryson and crew.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Thank you for the proclamation and the nice recognition for Fire Prevention Week. This is a very important week for us. It is a strong, important message that we get out to every kid, kindergarten through fourth grade, in every school in town. So this crew from Fire Station 1 will be at, I believe, Monterey Road tomorrow. They'll be giving that message based on that theme that you read off for us. This is kind of a year of anniversaries, too, along with our 100-year anniversary as a fire department. The NFPA is also celebrating 100 years of Fire Prevention Week. So that has been a thing for 100 years. It's pretty neat. I don't think Atascadero Fire has been talking to kids for 100 years, but it's pretty neat to celebrate. So, and then also, it's a 30th anniversary of the Fire Chiefs Association paired up with the Alicia Ann Rouge Byrne Foundation, where they do a parade or a relay, basically, throughout the entire county, raising money for the Byrne Foundation. So that's the 30th year this year that'll be happening. And that relay will come through. It's always hosted along with KSBY, so there's footage all the way through. And it'll be stopping at San Benito on Thursday. So if you're in the area, we'll have KSBY there. Some of their celebrities doing the stop, drop, and roll with the kids. And then it ends up at Farmers Market, and there will probably be a few familiar faces on the KSBY live broadcast at 5 and 6. So anyways, thank you very much. It's an important week for us, and look forward to talking to the kids the rest of the week.
Thank you, Chief, and thank all of you for, the obvious of keeping us safe, but particularly for the work that you do with our youth, the work that you do in our community, the Defend Atascadero, and really helping all of our residents to be prepared and know what to do so that they can keep themselves and their neighbors safe. So thank you for that. Would you like to do a picture, Chief? All right. Chief, we have your proclamation here. Should have been in the picture. Terry can superimpose it. Wonderful. Thank you all. And now we're moving on to another proclamation. This is declaring October 2022 as Domestic Violence Action Month, and receiving on behalf of Lumen Alliance will be Jennifer Adams. And I've asked Councilmember Funk to present that proclamation.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is a proclamation declaring October 2022 is National Dating and Domestic Violence Action Month. Whereas Dating and Domestic Violence Action Month calls attention to the fact that sexual and intimate partner violence is widespread and impacts every person in Atascadero. And whereas Lumina Alliance provides essential life-saving services for survivors, their children, and families throughout San Luis Obispo County, including Atascadero. And whereas domestic violence is a pattern of control in an intimate relationship where one person uses coercion and violence to gain power and control over their partner. And whereas domestic violence can result in physical injury, psychological trauma, and even death, and the devastating consequences of domestic violence can cross generations and last a lifetime. And whereas there is a need to focus on the individualized needs of domestic violence survivors, and whereas the marginalization of certain groups in society, including undocumented individuals, transgender individuals, and those living with disabilities, increases their vulnerability to intimate partner violence. And whereas Lumina Alliance continues to provide a safe environment to those affected by domestic violence with crisis intervention, counseling, education, legal services, and emergency safe housing with the help of dedicated volunteers and professionals. And whereas Lumina Alliance has received over 2,400 calls to the Crisis and Information Line, provided more than 6,400 collective nights for shelter clients, and provided more than 5,000 hours of therapy. And whereas Lumen Alliance and Cal Poly Safer partnered to create this year's Domestic Violence Action Month theme, We Deserve, in recognition that in all relationships, we deserve respect, equity, honesty, bodily autonomy, independence, boundaries, healing, joy, and so much more. And whereas the City of Atascadero strongly supports the efforts of Lumina Alliance, how every segment of our society can work together to better address intimate partner violence, and how to help survivors connect with services. Now, therefore, let it be it proclaimed that the Mayor and City Council of the City of Atascadero and the citizens of Atascadero, in recognition of the important work done by domestic violence prevention and advocacy programs, do hereby proclaim the month of October 2022 to be National Dating and Domestic Violence Action Month. Signed by Heather Moreno, Mayor.
Thank you, Councilmember Funk. And welcome, Jennifer Adams.
Thank you, Mayor Moreno, and thank you so much for this proclamation from all of you. I am the CEO of Lumina Alliance and very honored to be here to recognize this Action Month. Lumina Alliance's mission is to empower those impacted by sexual and intimate partner violence through innovative advocacy, healing, and prevention programs. Although we have a new name, our agency has supported our community for 45 years. We offer a 24-hour crisis and information line, case management, restraining order assistance, legal assistance, accompaniment and advocacy, 3 emergency shelters, including one right here in Atascadero, transitional housing, individual and group therapy, and a robust prevention education department. As previously mentioned, October is Dating and Domestic Violence Action Month. This year, we're focused on ensuring everyone in our community understands that they deserve healthy and fulfilling relationships. Lumina Alliance has planned several events throughout the month, including the Celebrate Community Fun Run and Festival this Saturday, October 15th, at Mission Plaza in downtown San Luis Obispo. This event brings together supporters throughout the county to walk in celebration of our vision to create a safe, thriving, and equitable community. We're also hosting a movie screening of Dirty Dancing at the Palm Theater on Saturday, October 22nd, followed by a panel discussion about the film with experts in the field of sexual and intimate partner violence and healthcare. Visit luminaalliance.org to register for these events or learn more about other happenings in the county in honor of Dating and Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Please remember, if you or anyone you know is experiencing sexual or intimate partner violence and needs help, please call our 24-hour crisis and information line at 805-545-8888 to speak to one of our confidential advocates. In closing, we are just so grateful for this proclamation and the ongoing support of the Atascadero City Council. On behalf of Lumina Alliance's Board of Directors, staff, and volunteers, we thank you for taking action this month to create our vision of a safe, thriving, and equitable community. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer, and thank you for all the work that you do, particularly to protect and to support some of those that individuals who are the most vulnerable in our community, and we greatly appreciate that. And I don't know if
thank you.
And I don't know if most people know, but the very popular Dancing with Our Stars that has gone on 11 seasons is now being taken over by Lumina Alliance to be a big fundraiser for your organization, and you'll be launching that in March of 2024 will be the first show.
So we will have our annual gala and highlight a performance from this year's Dancing with Our Stars. That will happen in March at Rava Winery. And then in March of 2024, we will be back here at the Pavilion and putting it on for the first time. So I expect that you will be there.
Most certainly will. Jenny and I have danced quite a bit together in different numbers, or at least in, you know, whether it's together or separately, but for the show, and we've enjoyed it quite a bit, and Councilmember Funk has been a part of it. We have a lot of fun. So I'm very glad, as someone who's been a part of that fundraiser since 2014, every year since then, to see it continuing, and with a group such as Lumina that I know will do a wonderful job with it, and to see it benefit your organization. So very glad for that. And on
Thank
that
you.
Note, would you like to take a picture?
Yes, please.
Okay. All right. Always love proclamations that celebrating the good things going on within our city, within our community, and all of those who participate. We are on to our consent calendar. The consent calendar contains items that are considered to be routine and non-controversial and can be approved in one motion unless there's a member of the public or the council wishing to pull an item or ask a question, in which case we can remove that item and vote separately on it. So I'll look to council and see if there's anyone wishing to pull an item. I'm seeing none. I will go to the webinar. Let me get over to my attendees. If there's one of the attendees that would wish to pull an item, please raise your hand using the raise hand icon. I'll look to the chambers here. I'm not seeing anyone wishing to, so we'll go ahead and bring it back to council. I'll ask for a motion.
I move approval of the consent calendar.
I'll second.
Motion by Councilmember Borbeau, second by Councilmember Funk. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. We're on to updates from the city manager, and I'll turn this over to Laura Christensen, deputy city manager.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. There are Well, not there are. There's lots of great events coming up, but there's also been a lot of great events that have happened since just these past 11 days in October, and that began with Colony Days. The Colony Days Parade and festivities, they kicked off the month of October with the annual Colony Days Parade, which was themed to the Roaring Twenties and had over 60 parade entries, followed by the festival in Sunken Gardens. Over 2,000 people came out to enjoy the event and the activities, which included dog races, to a pet costume contest, live music, and a variety of booths to take you all the way back to 1913. A big thank you to the Atascadero Colony Days Committee and the many volunteers that make this event possible each year. And also, followed right behind Colony Days was National Night Out. There was a great turnout there. There was lots to do and check out. Over 10 vendors, plus a safety demonstration with our police and fire departments, the K-9 unit and PG&E offering demos on electrical safety. Attendees were able to have a free safety check for bike helmets and car seats. They were able to enjoy free food from a variety of businesses, including a Atascadero grocery outlet, Slow Doco Donuts, Wild Fields, and Starbucks. Special thanks to this group, along with Home Depot, Medina Light Show Designs, and the Atascadero Police Association for sponsoring. Also, thank you to everyone involved in volunteering and coming out to be a part of this annual community event. Fall First Fridays in the Downtown took place for the very first time this past Friday, offering great dance tunes with the Club DV8 band, playing throwbacks from the 80s, wave, and rock era. In addition, Slow Axe Co. had axe throwing available, Bubble Fun 101 had a bounce house for the kids, and there were two food trucks to choose from. Mark your calendars for the next Fall First Friday on November 4th. That's from 5 to 7 p.m., and that'll be featuring the band Unfinished Business. It's the season of fun and Halloween activities. There are several of them in town. This weekend, the Russo's Spooktacular Halloween House will be open for visitors for a spooky annual Atascadero tradition. It's located at 7720 Cortez Avenue off of Kerberl Avenue headed east before you get to the railroad crossing. Former city staff member Mark Russo works hard every year, putting in a ton of time and effort decorating for Halloween. And each year, his spooky display gets bigger and better. It's definitely something you don't want to miss. Again, that's 7720 Cortez Avenue. And I think he said it's usually from about 7 to 10 p.m. is when lights are on. The Haunt is the Central Coast's favorite haunted house. They are open every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, now through the end of October, and they're located right here in the downtown at 5805 El Camino Real. They have special programs like their Halloween special on 10:30 and 10:31, Night Terrors and the Lights on Tour. All of the information, including their schedule, ticket availability, and pricing can be found online at thehauntinatascadero.com. Buy your tickets in advance online as there's a limited number available at the door. Also, mark your calendar for a couple more annual favorites at the end of this month with Zoo Boo at the Charles Paddock Zoo. That'll be Saturday, October 29th from 5 to 8:30. Have the whole family put on their best costumes for a not-too-scary event at Zoo Boo. And also mark your calendar for Downtown Trick or Treat. This safe, family-friendly event will be held on Halloween, which is Monday, October 31st. It'll be from 4 to 7 p.m. in downtown Atascadero. There'll be bounce houses, a hay maze, and over 20 vendors to join in all the fun. It's free to attend, and it's brought to you by the Atascadero Downtown Business Improvement District. For more information on all these events, please go to visitatascadero.com. Also, mark your calendars because it's time again for the Atascadero Lake Perimeter Cleanup. Please put Saturday, October 22nd on your calendar for the annual Atascadero Lake Perimeter Cleanup Day. Volunteers will meet in front of the pavilion at 8:30 a.m. Coffee and donuts will be provided. Please, if you plan to volunteer, bring your own work gloves and some hand tools. The city will also have some limited hand tools available. The event's co-sponsored by the City of Atascadero and the Friends of the Atascadero Lake, and it really is a fun day to come out and help beautify our treasured lake. Fall cleanup is also a popular at this time of year, and it's a perfect time to plan for Waste Management's residential waste drop-off at Chicago Grade Landfill. This waste drop-off event is for Atascadero residents only. It's available October 22nd through October 29th, which is a Saturday through a Saturday, so that week. It's 7:30 a.m. to 3 p.m., and you can deliver acceptable items to the Chicago Grade Landfill. Only personal vehicles, though, no trailers. Residents must unload their items themselves, and you get one voucher per household, and the voucher must be presented to Chicago Grade Landfill. Information and vouchers are available through Waste Management, which is at 8740 Pueblo Avenue, Suite B, or you can call them at 805-466-3636. Again, that's Waste Management, where you can get your vouchers, 805-466-3636. And I know there's been some questions that have come up recently, and I know all of council has gotten some questions too regarding the Orange Bag Program. And so I was asked just to give a little information on the Orange Bag Program and address some of those questions. The Orange Bag Program is really a program that has been set up for those who don't have access to regular trash service. And so, you know, some like our unhoused residents or community members or others who don't have regular access to, you know, solid waste pickup or regular trash services. And what we have kiosks, we have one here over by the plaza over here. Yeah, by the bridge. And then there's another one off of Traffic Way. And the point of these is to, you go by the kiosk and there are orange bags there, which you can then take the bags to clean up your own personal trash, bag your trash up, and then put it back at the kiosk. And then our Public Works Department members go by, and when they see the orange bags there, they know to pick them up, that someone has left some trash behind, and then we dispose of that. There's been some questions about the Orange Bag Program and whether that's meant for, you know, more organized trash pickup throughout the city. And it's really not. That's just meant to be for individuals to have a place to clean up their own trash. And those who are interested in doing more organized trash pickup is really, we have, it's our litter removal program. And we have a whole program that's been designed with our Public Works Department in order to provide more access to that so that our Public Works Department can actually provide some do's and don'ts, especially for those members who are looking to do pickup in public facilities or in our creeks or in the riverbed, and then also to coordinate with them so that we know when they're there, we can provide them with trash bags, we can provide them with vests, we can provide them with the pinchers for picking up, and we can talk a lot about do's and don'ts and, you know, safety with being in some of those areas. So those who are interested in doing more organized trash pickup, we do ask you to please contact our Public Works Department or to go online. We do have the information regarding the litter removal online. It's atascadero.org/litter removal. And if you go to there, it'll take you right to there. And then you can access information about the program, put in where you're interested in doing it, and connect with our Public Works Department. If you're not comfortable or can't access that online, you can always call our Public Works Department at 805-470-3148 or email pwops@atascadero.org, and that'll connect you with our operations division, and they can get you all set up on that too. They will provide trash bags, all of that, and then you can coordinate where you plan to do pickup, when you plan to do pickup, and then our Public Works guys will know where you'll be leaving trash bags. And why that is really important is because while there are orange bags, we really are looking for them back at the kiosk where the orange bags are picked up. When they are distributed in other areas of the city, we don't always know that they're there. And then they are often combined with other bags of trash or other, you know, trash and debris. And we don't know that that is necessarily trash. There is, you know, we do have some unhoused members of the community who use trash bags, and, you know, not just unhoused, but other people use trash bags as a means to haul some of their belongings or, you know, transport belongings. And when bags get left, we don't know that those aren't someone's possessions. And so we really do have, and there are some legal requirements that we have with removal of someone's possessions. And then, you know, the city, if we're to do that, we have to store it for 60 days. So a lot of times if we come across that, it may stay for several days until we can determine that it is in fact not someone's possessions and abandoned trash or debris. So it's really important for people who are wanting to do more organized to coordinate with us. And when they've done it and they've left trash bags, call that number or shoot an email to our public works department, and then they'll know to schedule one of our parks or our roads streets person to swing by and pick that up. And then that also helps us to know where it's at and where people are out and about. And then also just a reminder, if someone is wanting to do that trash pickup, we welcome volunteers to do that. But when you are in our creeks or are in the river, to be very careful and make sure all you are doing is trash pickup, because there are very strict rules with being in our rivers and in the creeks when it comes to Fish and Wildlife and Regional Water Quality Board and what we can and can't do. And so it's very, you know, there's been questions about doing tree trimming or pruning or brush, you know, removal. And we can only do that at very, very specific times and on a permit. We actually have to get a permit in order to do that. So please, if you are wanting to do that, either participate in our creek cleanup event, which is in part of our permit, or, you know, just make sure you're only in there picking up actual trash. And any questions, again, please direct that to our Public Works Department. Again, the number 805-470-3148 or pwops@atascadero.org. And I'm happy to answer any questions. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Christensen. Do we have any questions of Councilmember Harris?
Just one little clarification item. On the trick-or-treat, you indicated it was from 4 to 7. The graphic said 5 to 8, so I just don't want it to be confused. Anybody can be confused by that. But it did say 5 to 8, so. So, okay.
It will be correct on the website.
Yeah.
At visitatascadero.com. Thank you.
Madam Mayor, sorry.
Councilmember Funk, followed by Councilmember Borbo.
Sure, and I just wanted to thank Deputy City Manager Christensen for the update on the Orange Bag program and for helping everybody. And we love to have people help keep the community clean, and it helps when we can do it in ways that work together, so that when our unhoused residents do look at those kiosks, that the stock of orange bags is there for them. Because they are looking to that as well, and that we distinguish properly between things that are trash and things that might be their belongings. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to add that Public Works also does have a formal adopt a road trash pickup program where an individual or a group can adopt a road segment and do trash pickup there. And I believe that information is available on the Public Works website.
Thank you. All right. So, yes, thank you for your very thorough report and your update on the trash and the distinction between things. And thank you to all the members of our community who I do know organize and help to keep our streets and our parks clean. We are on to community forum. This is the portion of our meeting that is reserved for persons wishing to address the council on something that is under our jurisdiction, but that is not on our agenda this evening. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes. We ask that you would state your name for the record, and we will have a timer going to help you with your three-minute time frame. We will allow a total of 30 minutes, up to 30 minutes for community forum. And just know that issues brought up this evening are not going to become a topic of conversation. We will triage and it get answers offline as needed, but we won't be talking about those things this evening. And with that, I will go to, we have our first member of the public in the chambers. Welcome.
Thank you, Mayor. Jeff Oslin, citizen of Atascadero. I want to remind the city and everybody that we're back to our annual event for the canine program for Atascadero PD and our canines. So Saturday, October 29th, before Brew at the Zoo. Yeah, there you go, Zoo Boo this year. We will be having our annual fundraiser. This year, instead of a spaghetti feed, we're doing a street taco bar. And it will be Saturday, October 29th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And the Elks Lodge has graciously sponsored it once again so we can be there along with Kiwanis. So we will be pulling this off again. And the big exciting news is just out of training, I believe it's the 27th, we will have our new canine and our new handler. So you'll be able to meet the new canine, which is Ponic. We'll do the live demonstrations as usual. And it's about $15 per adult, $7 per child age under 10. Of course, Glenn's Repair and Grocery Outlet have graciously sponsored the event again. So 100% of proceeds and money that comes in for everything we do does go to our canine foundation. And we're proud to do this little hiatus with COVID and a hiatus that we lost a dog. So now that we're going to be back to full staff with our canines, we're extremely thrilled to be once again doing our taco bar fundraiser. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that information, and good to know. All right. If there's anyone in the, let me get back to my participant screen. I'm always there, and then when they switch screens, it takes me somewhere else, so which is just fine. If there's any member of the public wishing to speak right now in community forum, go ahead and use that raise hand icon at the bottom of your screen, and we will call on you. Please do not wait, because there are currently no raised hands, and I will be closing community forum in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, we are closing community forum. And because we still have something like 27 potential minutes left in community forum, it will remain open until 7:05 p.m., assuming we are actually still here at that time, which we may not be with tonight's agenda. And if you do wish to speak, go ahead and either raise your hand or, you know, come here in person, on the phone, let us know, and we will get to you at the next earliest opportunity. And with that, we will move on to our item B1, a public hearing on accessory dwelling unit text amendments. This was originally on our agenda back on September 13th, and we continued the item to today, October 11th. And there is still some work that needs to be done on this to make sure everything is just the way that we want it to be. In order for council and the community to take a look at it and really dive into it and finish making decisions. So we are going to be continuing it to October 25th. But I am going to go ahead and open it up to public comment right now. And so any member of the public wishing to speak on this item, please go ahead and raise your hand in the webinar or come to the podium here. And again, speakers do have 3 minutes. Welcome, first speaker.
Once again, Jeff Oslin, citizen of Atascadero. Thank you, Mayor and Council. Real quick on this issue, I'm glad it's being postponed. I hope we are doing things correctly in wording and staffing, as I don't want to waste our city staff's time in doing this twice and having things fall through the cracks. With our general plan update and our housing element update, I'm hoping this is being coordinated so we don't have to go back in a year, or year and a half, and fix wording. Thank you.
Thank you, and let me go back to our participants here. If there's any member of the public in the webinar wishing to speak, go ahead and raise your hand now. I'm not seeing any, so please raise your hand immediately if you'd like to speak on this item. All right, seeing none, we will go ahead and continue this item to October 25th. With that, we are on to okay, this is odd. Hold on, my agenda does not have what I know is next on it. So let me go to my other agenda. And
I think we skipped her. We were going to do it as part of, that was my fault. We skipped her as part of city manager.
Oh, got it.
Sorry, Lorelai.
So
apologize.
How?
I got too excited.
City clerk, if you could let me know, how would you like us to do this?
That's okay. We can go back to that. It wasn't a an item, so.
Okay, yeah. So now that we have finished all of our items, we're going to go back to our city manager's report, and Lorelei is going to provide us with a bit of an economic update.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Yes, no, I will not turn it into a management report because it is not that.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and share my screen and provide you an economic development overview. All right. Everybody see that? Okay. Well, thank you. I'm so excited to be here and talk about my favorite topic, which is economic development. I want to start off by just giving you a little bit of an overview of what's happening regionally between our county and Santa Barbara County. There's some efforts. I'll talk a little bit about North County, and then I'll move into talking a lot about Atascadero. So I can make this quick, but I'd love for you to stop me and ask questions, or we can save time afterwards so you can ask me what's happening with such and such a building or those things. So let's just make it conversational. So starting off, I want to talk about some of the regional updates that are happening in our region. First of all, our region is actually being referred to as San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara counties. REACH, a Regional Economic Action Coalition, is leading some of the planning for Vandenberg Space Force and Diablo Canyon planning. They're looking at ways that we can create a bigger magnet to the Central Coast by showing people that we are aligned, we have policies in place, and that we're advocating for space launch at Vandenberg, private sector space force activities going on there with private companies, and letting people know that we are here for job growth on the Central Coast and that this is a great place to relocate or locate. Also, as you know, with all of the conversations about Diablo, that will be extended for another 5 years, so we do have more time to plan and more time to get our economy strengthened in advance of that. So we will be talking a little bit about that. Specifically, what are we going to do with the land that is around Diablo, and what other types of industries can we be bringing in, such as offshore wind, for example? There's a big conversation around green energy, clean tech, which is defined as anything that reduces carbon and is environmentally friendly. So we're looking at other options regionally as wind farm off of Morro Bay, battery storage, and all sorts of other things to utilize the infrastructure in place, which is our transmission lines. Additionally, targeted quality job growth is a big part of our regional initiative. REACH 2030 has a plan to bring 15,000 jobs here by the time by the year 2030. So these are the sectors, I won't read them all off, that they're looking to target, but I mentioned clean tech. There's a big space push, as I mentioned, and that includes vertical and horizontal launch. Being on the West Coast, we are uniquely suited to compete with things that are happening over in Florida, for example. They have kind of a corner on the market for some of this vertical launch. So what can we be doing at Vandenberg to capture that and, of course, reap the benefits of all the jobs and companies that would be attracted to a really active hub if Vandenberg were to be the next Space Force location? And finally, REACH has also put together something called the REACH Data Center, and this has become a tool for the city of Atascadero and some of our other communities in the county to use. What it really does is puts all of our communities on the same page with how we speak about our region. Some of the data is available in the same hand across all communities, and this is a really great tool that I've been using where they scrape the MLS sites so that we can understand what sites are available in each community. And that's really helpful when organizations like GoBiz, Governor's Office of Business, they are looking to find companies a home in California anywhere. So they really create something called an RFI, which is a request for information. They send it out to all of their counties and regions in California. And we have an opportunity as the Central Coast to get our ducks in a row, look organized, and tell them, why not Atascadero? Why not San Luis Obispo County? So this is really nice to get all of our cities on the same page, saying, hey, there's 7 sites in Atascadero, there's 4 in Morro Bay, there's 2 in Paso Robles, here's what they look like, and send them some really nicely compiled data that is very organized. So that's been a really nice benefit that we've been enjoying using. So that's really kind of the overview of what's happening regionally. I'd love to answer some questions later if you like. Next, North County updates. So here we have a picture of the Paso Robles Airport landing strip. So a lot is happening out in Paso Robles. They have an opportunity out there to, and lots of land. So I'll just go back for a minute and talk about North County in general. We have a huge opportunity for growth if we choose. We have land, we do have water, and we do have in Atascadero, and we do have the opportunity to bring and attract head of household jobs. We have housing for our people. It is more affordable than some other areas. And so it's a really big opportunity. Also, Atascadero, just fun known fact, we actually have the highest per capita income in our county, which is really interesting. And historically, we also have the highest driving patterns and miles driven. So that also shows that we've been historically been a commuter town with a bedroom kind of community label. We actually have the opportunity here to bring more jobs here and help with that jobs housing imbalance that we've talked about quite a bit. Paso Robles has been looking at their assets, such as their airport, and thinking, what can we be doing with this to bring more economic development and economic growth and utilize that? And they've looked into the spaceport. There are only about 14 in the nation. They are working right now on submitting an application with Cal Poly to have a spaceport looked at and approved by the FAA in Paso Robles. And what that would mean for us as partners is that we would have more commerce here, people doing other things such as satellite horizontal launch. You can see here on the screen, there's an image of what those vehicles look like today. They're not giant spacecrafts that take off vertically and have kind of the, space shuttle launch. But these are small. They transport what are called CubeSats. Those are small satellites that actually were invented at Cal Poly. They have a patent on that, and they are growing their space industry at Cal Poly. So great partnerships, great opportunity, and what I see as Atascadero's opportunity here is to house some of those ancillary companies that might have other opportunities, and just to see how we can support Paso in this effort, because a rising tide raises all ships, and that's really important for us. So their process is underway. They should know in about 2024 if they are going to be the next spaceport in the United States. And so we'll keep our fingers crossed for our neighbors and for us and push them forward. One of the other really exciting things you've probably seen in the press recently is broadband. So the North County Broadband Strategic Plan is a partnership between the cities of Atascadero and Paso Robles. I'm not sure if we've done anything like this in the past, but this is kind of a unprecedented opportunity for us to co-manage a project across city boundaries to hire a consultant to look at what are our needs for broadband in the North County, what are the gaps that we could be filling, what are the strategic projects that we could be finding grant dollars for to build that infrastructure or grant it to somebody else, and how can we improve the internet connectivity for our businesses and our residents. We all know that the working world has changed so much over COVID. We have a lot of telecommuters. We had people going to school online. So this is a really critical strategic priority from the council, and so we're excited to move this project forward. It is a 22-week project, and we just kicked off last Friday. So very exciting things to come, and we'll be engaging our people and our council and our stakeholders along the way. Finally, Atascadero. All right, this is where we'll spend the meat of our time. Everything we do here in economic development at the city is tied back to our action plan. So the 2021 through 2023 action plan has some strategic priorities. And if you read through these, just about everything touches economic development in some way, shape, or form, because it's really all about quality of life. And you do need your economics to be balanced in order to provide for your community and your services. But vibrancy, infrastructure, safety, city services, and quality of life are all important. And those are our four strategic priorities. So I'll talk about some of the initiatives that we're moving forward with. We talked for quite some time about how important it is to have a whole community. We have a lot of housing, and we've historically been known, as I mentioned, a bedroom community, but to bring living wage jobs up to par with our neighboring communities, or just to make sure that our students today that are in high school or our residents here that are working in the hills up in Atascadero, they all have opportunities to work here in Atascadero. They don't have to commute to San Luis Obispo or even the Bay Area for their jobs. It would be wonderful for us to grow that, and we've been doing a wonderful job and have been getting a lot of notice from the community. And that's very exciting for us, so I'm excited to share some of the new businesses that have opened up as a result. But we also want to think about how important it is to take our existing businesses and support them and really create an ecosystem for expansion and entrepreneurship. And how do you actually create that? Well, we can proactively bring resources in to help coach businesses, to help fund initiatives to get them to the next step. And we do have opportunities in our region to fund that. The SBA has, the Small Business Administration, has the SBDC offices in San Luis Obispo at Mission Community Services Center, as well as the Cal Poly Hot House. And we do have partnerships even in our own very own Atascadero Chamber with Women's Business Center and Mission Community Services. That is very exciting, and I've sent many new businesses when I approve their licenses over to them to make sure that they have what they need, even if it's just getting help starting up their website or understanding how to utilize social media to their benefit. So really creating that ecosystem. It's also really important to connect businesses to one another so that they can support each other. That's been really interesting. So if you have businesses in tech and they don't, you know, it's really important to make sure you are fostering that connectivity between businesses. I had no idea that when I started here a year and a half ago, 75% of my time would really be focused on bringing people together to do really exciting things. And sometimes it's just brokering spaces. Yes, we have realtors, but sometimes people let us know that they're moving before they let other people know, and they need more space. And the last thing we want to do is see them leave our community. So it's really exciting to say, well, that's great, because this is being built, and in another month, it will be open, the ribbon will be cut, and why don't you speak to the developer today so that you have a spot in that new building? So that has been one of the most exciting things. On top of the fact that the generation behind me keeps coming up with great ideas, and they want to be here. They want to grow their businesses here. I can't tell you how many friends that I've known throughout my life in Atascadero I've gotten to, you know, process their business licenses. I've gotten to have a conversation with them about their ideas and how they can really turn it into a reality. So huge win for Atascadero. It's very exciting and very positive. So finally, business attraction. We want to do that strategically, because we always, of course, want to support our businesses here, but we also want to be very targeted about who we are bringing to the community and what businesses we do need. So what are we lacking? How can we use data to tell us who we should be targeting proactively? So that's a really big part of what we've been doing, and we've been using analytics such as LinkedIn to say, who are those CEOs who are living in other places that went to Cal Poly, would love to live here, and they have a business that would really support some of our other local businesses? So how do we bring them here and use data to our advantage to say, I know who you are, I know you never wanted to leave, and how can we help you make it happen here? So again, very exciting things. And finally, downtown and placemaking in general. So many exciting things are happening here. Atascadero is just bustling, and I hope you are all having the same conversations. But when I talk about downtown or people come up to me in other meetings, they say, I am so excited about what's happening in Atascadero. I love that we can stay there for date night. We come from other communities now for date night in Atascadero because our city's full, and there's a lot, you know, it's just a really neat thing. But having even high school reunion friends come back and say, I didn't recognize it. This is amazing. We have some great places to go and stay. So very exciting things. One of the targeted business attraction tools I wanted to talk about is something you received yesterday from Deputy City Manager Terry Banish, which is a campaign. It's a social media campaign that we launched back in May and June. And really, this was very strategic. It was kind of a pilot test of how this could work. But this was something where we did geofenced information on just through digital print through digital social media paid advertisements. And so what this did was it attracted people with a certain demographic, and this popped up in their feed on Facebook and said, hey, are you tired of sitting in traffic? Are you thinking about other places to do your business? Why don't you check out Atascadero? You can live here, work here, and grow your company here. So this is very, again, very measurable. It was very successful. We look forward to seeing if there's other ways to partner in the future with other businesses. But this helped fill a need specifically because we had people who are in the community that are leasing space today. And we wanted to help them fill it. And so through this partnership, public-private conversation, we were able to launch this social media targeted business attraction campaign. And I hopefully Terry can fill you in at a future meeting, or you can kind of take a look at the report she's generated. So it was very exciting. We hope to do it again in the future. Downtown and placemaking. So I know there's lots of conversation, and you'll hear more in the community about the downtown infrastructure enhancement project that was funded and approved a year or two ago. We are now, we have received grant funding to construct this project, and we also are in the final design phases. So you will see changes to El Camino in the coming years in downtown. About 2 years from now, we will see diagonal parking down the center median, traffic going one direction in each way, safer crossings, more visibility for pedestrians, and really a place to celebrate that matches the historic feel of our downtown instead of paralleling our highway, because as you know, El Camino used to be our highway. So this is kind of taking it back for the community and the people and giving us an expanded place to play. Very excited about that. It will absolutely transform our downtown in an amazing way. This is based off of a project in Lancaster that had also done something similar. They saw a huge return on investment for their capital dollars and increased business, increased commerce, increased visits, and that's very exciting. Lots of businesses in downtown. I will run through a list in a few minutes, but it's such a great opportunity to know that this is an interesting conundrum when you talk about the chicken and egg scenario of attracting businesses and head of household jobs. When you speak with them and you say, well, why not Atascadero or why not San Luis Obispo County in general? They say, well, you know, yeah, you're in the middle of Los Angeles and San Francisco, but sometimes you hear that I just don't know if there's enough. I'm far away. We're used to an urban lifestyle. So maybe it's not for them. But if we had more activities that would keep their workforce in Atascadero, places for them to have lunch, places for them to shop after work and meet their, you know, household needs before they head home to whatever city they're living in our region, we would be more well-positioned to attract these jobs. So at some point, we need to get out of this cycle of chicken and egg and incentivize. So how are we going to do that? Well, the next council meeting will bring before you an opportunity we've looked at, like a low-interest loan program for restaurant attraction. So how do we get out of this cycle where we're stuck wanting to attract jobs and not having necessarily the strong enough nucleus to attract some of them? Well, if we can incentivize and change the behaviors of restaurants that might have decided to go to Lompoc or Pismo Beach, you know, maybe we can really do something by sending out the message that Atascadero is open for business and we're willing to give you a low-interest loan to install a commercial kitchen or something like that. So very exciting opportunities. Also, some of the exciting opportunities in downtown, specifically the Carlton Hotel is for sale right now, and we've had a lot of interest, which is very exciting because there's an opportunity for a restaurant and a new hotelier there. Denny's is for sale and is currently under contract, as I understand it, maybe closing escrow, so we'll see how that goes. We have opportunity sites right down at Colony Square. We have vacant sites ready to go, and we also have properties right across from City Hall over at Centennial Plaza. So a lot of exciting opportunities here in downtown. All right, I'll wrap it up really with new projects. This is the exciting part. I went ahead and ran a query in our Trackit system, and we have hundreds of new businesses that have opened up, and that's very exciting. They're all over the place, but here's some of the most recent and some that people are buzzing about. As you know, Colony Cinemas is now operational and doing very well. They got off to a slow start in the beginning, in the middle of the summer, but they're full speed ahead. Fancy Pan Restaurant is going to be opening near Colony Cinemas, and that is going to be a really great farm-to-table restaurant in Atascadero. Boar and Barley will be taking over the Dead Oak Brewing and Restaurant space on Entrada with a Irish high-end bar and pub and restaurant. Carbon 6 and Grape Encounters Wine Bars have just recently opened, Atrium Mercantile, the shops at La Plaza, including lots of retail and women's clothing, and the beautiful Cielo, LOL Yogurt, all sorts of exciting things, and tech companies even in downtown, like Every Amp, and I'll talk about them in a moment as well. Citywide, we are now the new home of Brown Butter Cookie Company's manufacturing. We have a Sonic Burger coming to the old KFC site. Chipotle will be moving forward in the A&W site. Planet Fitness is moving in next to Smart and Final in a kind of a closed, you wouldn't normally know it as a storefront, but they actually have broken ground and are moving forward with their improvements. Malu's Kitchen has opened up at the former AJ's down on Highway 41, and Ale's Restaurant is down where David's Kitchen was down at the south end of town. So lots of new restaurants. It's very exciting for us. I mentioned some of these downtown opportunities, but again, we're open for business. We're very excited to talk to entrepreneurs and restaurateurs and let them know we're here. And so really, that's the long and short of it. I think the last piece of this is we have access to some really exciting data to show where our strengths are, and we can also see what we're leaking, you know, as far as dollars go, tax dollars. So we know that we do very well in the construction industry, and we have a lot of healthcare, social services, and government jobs in the way of schools, hospitals out at ASH. You know, you can kind of see where our money comes from as a city. But this allows us, if we can dive in a little bit deeper, we can start to study what we really need to be a whole city as we've kind of put air quotes around it. Some of the really exciting things that you've all heard about at council meetings, but you will see in the future for the good of the public, the Del Rio Marketplace will be, we expect plans and everything to be submitted and everything to be really open for a ribbon cutting with the Valley Fresh Market as early as this time next year, maybe even early 2024. Barrel Creek across Del Rio off-ramp is also going to be submitting plans soon, probably by the end of this year. The Edge is a very exciting mixed-use development, also down at the Del Rio area, that will have some brewery, restaurant use, maybe yoga studio, and it's really going to liven up that area with all of the new residential and apartments down there too. So you'll see a really big pulse happening at that end of town. Westco Electric has a project they've already broken ground on. They'll be doing some light industrial down also by the Del Rio interchange. There's new parcels on Morrow Road that are under contract or in escrow for some medical use, which is very exciting, very close to Maresco Plaza. And on Santa Rosa Road, you'll see a lot of new development going on with the new ARCO and the new county building, which is beautiful and stunning, and that's really brought a lot of activity to that corner. So again, opportunities. Just so you are all aware, Del Rio Ranch is just gone on the MLS. So there will be conversations about that property being for sale and a new developer coming in to actually execute the plans that have been put in place. Dove Creek Commercial will be hitting the MLS this week, as I understand it. So they will be selling that commercial property down at the intersection of Santa Barbara and El Camino. And Centennial Plaza, we talked a little bit about that. There's opportunities there for development and some projects that stalled during COVID we're hoping to bring back around. And I meant Colony Square. And then, of course, Centennial Plaza, the parcels that the city owns, we are in the process of going out to the Surplus Land Act. We need to go through steps, if it is surplus land, which it is, to advertise it for housing, and then we can move forward with putting out an RFP for developers to come take a look at it and do something to activate our downtown. So with that, I will kind of, I guess, turn it over to you. I do want to highlight a couple quick companies. One thing that we've done here at the Chamber as our partnership between the city and the Chamber is we have the Economic Prosperity Council. Well, this last week we hosted a pitch contest, which was so exciting. And what we did is we brought in a couple companies in Atascadero to talk about what they do and to pitch whether they're looking for new customers, whether they're looking for another round of funding, whether they're, you know, whatever it is they wanted to share with our group and one another, their 5-minute elevator speech or their 3-minute elevator speech, and we all had an opportunity to ask really good questions to help them fine-tune it or to spend some time connecting them to the Women's Business Center or Slow Seed, which is a San Luis Obispo case, San Luis Obispo-based funding organization, to give them kind of a head start on website or some of these other things. So these companies, I would encourage you all to Google them. They're fascinating companies right here in our community. Crazy exciting tech things happening right here. Amazing jobs for the kids that are in kindergarten today that will be here for the long haul. And they're all in growth mode. So, and here they are. And they never want to leave Atascadero, they said. So I'll quote them on that. So lastly, we really want to talk about the horizon. In economic development, it's very important to be looking at trends, but thinking really hard about what is happening, where we need to be thinking 20 years out to make sure that we are not missing. Nobody would have thought that we needed to plan our downtown for Uber drop-off spaces 20 years ago. No one would have thought. I mean, there's just things that you're thinking about in the future that we need to plan for. No one would have thought that our in a post-COVID world, working would look like it does today. So what are the teleworking and office spaces look like for tomorrow? So really thinking hard about that, talking with developers about that, and making sure they're considering some of those market truths that are coming about. And thinking about who we are as a community. What are we best at? What's our unique value add to this county or to California in general? And why would someone choose us? And what can we do to be better at it than anybody else so that we are really attracting those people and creating a huge magnet? And, you know, we're really great at the healthy lifestyle. It's a beautiful place to live, quality of life, recreation. We have a family focus, which means, you know, childcare, great schools, arts and culture. So what can we do to be the best at that? And how do we monetize that? How do we bring that to us in a way where we're so good at it, we're known for it, and people flock to us for that? So with that, just a little food for thought for our next strategic session, because 2023 is right around the corner. So I'll go ahead and close it out and let you ask any questions, or we can...
Indeed it is. 2023 is right around the corner. Yeah. This was perfect timing because Lara and I were down at the Reach, had a meeting a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about how we have Lorelei sitting in the practitioner network and having so much information about really what's going on, you know, locally at the regional level, that it was, you know, we thought it was important for her to report out to council, you know, maybe, you know, twice a year. And so when we had this item, the ADU item, continue, this was the perfect opportunity to have this as part of the city manager's report and update, not just the council, but all of you on some of the things that are going on from an economic development standpoint. And it is exciting because it was at our 2021 strategic planning where this council sitting here decided that we wanted to move forward with hiring a position to do economic development, and that is Lorelei. And so we've been very pleased to see the you can see the progress here in broadband, the things that we're doing. And so thank you. Phil Dunsmore, Community Development Director, and his team have done a great job with all of that. Their capacity is so strained. And so to be able to bring on someone like Lorelei to help with that and really lead some of these efforts has been tremendous. And we have a really good community development department. You all work well together, and we appreciate you very much. This isn't a management report or anything like that. I do want to, and we may have a couple of questions. I'm curious, there's so many good things going on and so much energy. And when we look at Colony Square, it's something that's sort of vexed us for quite a while. And, you know, 10 plus years ago, we had the theater built in that area. We had the boutique hotel that was approved but never built. And then COVID hits, and we know the issues that we've had there. So it feels like, okay, we've got the theater back going again and some of those businesses coming along, but we still have these vacant lots. And what do you see as sort of that next step that needs to happen in order for some movement to take place there at Colony Square?
Yeah, that's a great question. Synergy is such a big part of that, the success of the businesses that were the pioneers that came in first with the hopes that everything would come together right at the right time. And, of course, market shifts and timing and COVID really did put a damper. But the two property owners, key property owners there that do own some of the vacant spaces are Jeff Nelson, who owns the theater currently, and the vacant area across the street from that, next to the chamber, and Peter Hilf, who also owns the remaining lots in the center of the donut and over by Round Table Pizza. We have reached out. We have had some conversations, even going as far as having, you know, our community development director and myself pop in and visit their office in Santa Barbara on a family vacation while we're in town, just to say, hi, don't forget about us. How are you doing? What's going on? How can we help move things forward? So really, I feel like the communication is very important. Last time I spoke with Peter Hilf down in Santa Barbara, he did say he would like to reprioritize this property. He did ask about, you know, different options for land use, but in the meantime, we've had a lot of development interest from other people. We did have conversations at International Shopping Center Convention, ICSC, this year with organizations that were saying, hey, what's happening in the middle of your downtown? We do plazas, and we do them very well, and we do them all over California. We're interested in this. And so me making some introductions and connections to see if there's a partnership to catalyze things and move them forward has been a really important move. I have to kind of step out of those conversations once I make the introductions, but I always follow up and say, how did that go? Is there anything else we can do as a city to kind of help move things along? But in the meantime, we have had some very exciting businesses that have funding that would like to open up in some of these buildings if they were built. They might even wait for it if it's another 2 years or so, but I mean, entertainment uses. Somebody wants to do something, a family center that is probably similar to a Dave and Buster's, but just a locally owned, you know, opportunity like that, and how cool if we could re-engage those property owners, let them know that these ideas are still out there, and get things going, kind of defibrillate what stopped when COVID kind of came about. So it's still out there, but it's a really great question, and we are kind of relentless, and we're always following up. We have it on our once a month calendar to remind ourselves to reach back out and see who's still available.
Well, and thank you for taking some of those critical steps. I've never heard the term defibrillate used in quite that way, but wow, that was very creative. I like that. Other council questions? Council Member Funk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you, Lorelei, for that wonderful presentation and all the energy and sparkle that is happening in all of this. A lot of people have asked me about the former Kmart property, and I've heard a variety of people with ideas and plans for that site. Can you update us on where that might stand and the extent to which the existing lease might be a barrier to things moving quickly?
Yes, thank you for asking. I did have a great conversation with the property owner, Jeff Mayhew, yesterday, Strata Properties. He is a wonderful man who has done a great job of keeping an eye on his property. When you don't live right in town, a lot of things can happen, but he is up here regularly checking on it, and he checks in with us at the city. You know, asks if he can come by and hear talk about things. So Jeff has done a really great job of really hitting the pavement and asking for people to come to take a look at the 70,000 square foot space. He's done a good job of filling some of the other smaller commercial spaces. We have three new businesses that have opened up in there or are coming very soon. But there is that a little bit of a conundrum with Kmart continuing their lease. They have another just a little less than a year on their lease, but they have expressed interest in keeping those two more five-year options that they would like to extend. So I'm not sure if that means that they would like to continue to find their own tenant and maybe profit off of this space, which, again, if it's good for Atascadero and it brings a really viable use and more momentum and activity, wonderful. That's great for our people and our community. But it has created a little bit of a logjam in the owner wanting to do tenant improvements and really create a better, more updated center, but not knowing who's going to come in and if it's going to be a 230,000 square feet buildings and businesses or if it's going to be one big 70,000 square foot business. But unless you know what your tenant who's holding out the lease is going to do, you can't sign with someone. So We are a little bit in a holding pattern. There's a lot of momentum and traction, and I have heard from three or four businesses who've been asking questions that would like to remain anonymous that they would like to fill the space, at least half of the space. So there are conversations happening. We just have to kind of let them work it out and get unstuck or see what we can do as a city to step in.
And the interest that's being expressed in the Denny site, is it safe to assume that is someone else who's also going to do food service with that We probably can't say, but
as far as I know, yes. So that is a local business, a local restaurateur who is working and negotiating. It had fallen out of escrow twice in the past. We were disappointed. They were all people looking for that, but it was more of those formula chain restaurants that had said, we would like to do something with a drive-through. And when they called the city, we let them know, you know, our downtown does not allow drive-throughs, just in that very small area. This is for people and walking and not necessarily more vehicles, you know, in the drive-through fashion. So we are very excited that someone local and viable, a restaurateur, would be moving into that site. They are in negotiations now, so hopefully something works out and we have something to celebrate in a short amount of time. But you never know, and you can never say anything or count your chickens before they hatch. That's what we're learning.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. I have a thank you. A follow-up question, since Councilmember Funk asked about the Kmart property, the empty square dirt at the corner of San Anselmo and El Camino Real, is that part of and also owned by Kmart, or is that a separate parcel? And if it is, can you tell us anything about whether there's any interest in that, or do the, you know, the traffic limitations with the freeway on-ramp kind of negate the possibilities there?
Yeah, that's a great question. It is a separate parcel, and it is owned by someone who had hoped to do a service station there. We've had conversations with them about doing the traffic analysis, which they have completed, and it does show that they would not be able to do something that they were a fresh fill station or something of that nature that they had originally planned, unless there was significant improvements to the overpass, which is a very big ticket item. And we would be looking to the developer to do that, those improvements. So a little bit of a holding pattern, but I think as they're looking at their options, there are conversations going on right now about, okay, how do they proceed and what next? And right. At this point, I know that there's a lot of interest in that corner, and it could really, again, bring a lot of activity and catalyze change in that area as well.
And a different question. You know, along El Camino Real, we have a lot of small commercial properties, some of them kind of maybe too small in a way. But do we have interest in, you know, some of those people wanting to do things in some of those smaller mid-block properties, if you will?
Yes, actually, one of exciting new development in the last about couple months, a new developer is in town, and has a very nice portfolio and has done really, really great work. And he's come in and said, what do you have that's vacant for infill and how can I help transform it? And what do you want to see on those properties? So that's really exciting to hear someone who wants to know what the city is looking for or what's in our general plan or our vision and wants to execute it and has the means to do so. So I know that this developer is in escrow on at least one or more properties right now and is looking at other infill opportunities. I've put him in touch with multiple other property owners or developers that had plans that just kind of came to a bit of a halt or have slowed down. And I think there's an opportunity for either partnership because a lot of developers these days have been telling us, gosh, the market really says that residential is one of the primary things that can really pencil and make a project pencil. And I really don't think I want to do this project unless it's all residential. And I said, well, why don't you two connect? This person says that they can make light industrial, commercial, ground floor retail pencil. Maybe there's an opportunity for you to do something or trade some spaces or do something neat. So I'm really enjoying watching those conversations unfold and seeing how those happen. So a lot of interest in Atascadero, which is really exciting because it seems to come in waves. And right now we have a lot of momentum and a lot of really great interest. So.
Okay. And last question. We've approved, I mean, way back when I was in the Planning Commission, I think subsequently there have been various ideas presented for the lot next to Staples and the parking lot out in front of Staples. And is there any movement on any projects there? And also the vacant area in front of the Spring Hill Suites that was zoned, I think, for a gas station and something else.
Yeah, we've had a couple projects or concepts come float by community development. Everything from, you know, residential, which is not necessarily allowed, to service stations and car washes and, you know, none of them have actually been this is what we want to do, this is how we're going to make it work, and here's our official proposal. It's more of, hey, I'm trying to work the numbers, and this is what I'm thinking. So unfortunately, I feel like the opportunity is prime for looking at what's happening next to Staples. There's a nice big greenfield spot ready to go, but we have heard from others that there's some challenges with the competing retail at Home Depot and some of the agreements that were made between the corporate and the corporate Home Depot and the lender, and that's a really interesting challenge that we've been working with. How can we loosen up some of those restrictions? So if a custom tile shop, for example, wanted to locate in Home Depot Center, is it a competing use, or would they be buying all of their grout and other supplies from Home Depot, and it could be create some synergy and a stronger nucleus? This is the one-stop place where you go when you have to redo your kitchen or bathroom. So, you know, and there's something for everybody. So that's a really interesting thing that we'd like to work with the property managers and the who are managing that center to kind of fix. We've talked about that with them at length, and we've talked with Home Depot a little bit too in their project, because they are doing a tool expansion center as well. So we've had opportunities to do that, but nothing for sure, and nothing has really taken hold yet in that area. But we're very hopeful something will, and someone will see it for what it is, and you know, that really great opportunity in north end of town. So.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
All right, I think that does it for our questions. Thank you very much, and you're right, this is just a very beginning of a big discussion that we will have community-wide when it comes to strategic planning next year, so thank you.
You bet.
We will move on now to our council announcements and committee reports, and I will just go down the dais. I'll start with Council Member Darris.
I don't have anything to report.
Let's see, last week on Tuesday and Wednesday evenings, I attended a slow street safe thing put on by SLOCOG. And there were reps in varying capacities from all the cities and a lot of community services districts and other jurisdictions. So that was interesting. It's interesting when they talk about ways to make streets safer, and some of it's just psychological, just the literally changing the width of the white line on the edge of the freeway from 4 inches to 6 inches is a proven safety measure. And it's kind of interesting to have a list of something like 28 proven safety countermeasures, and some of them are very minor like that. But so it was an interesting conversation, and participating in that, it helps SLOCOG be able to apply for certain grants that our community and other communities in the county can then partake in without having to do it ourselves. Integrated Waste Management Authority meets tomorrow, and a fairly light agenda, so nothing real significant to report there. So that's it.
Okay, the Atascadero Groundwater Basin Sustainability Agency, which was going to be meeting this past week, is going to be meeting on October 25th. I think this is fairly, I haven't checked the agenda yet, but at this stage we're fairly routine, because we have a plan that we've submitted that we're waiting for the state to review, and they've got a couple of years in which to do that. So we're kind of monitoring things steadily, but we don't expect anything startling. I'm looking over at Laura to see if she's probably read the agenda, if there's anything else exciting. Okay, and then Design Review Committee will be meeting on Thursday. Mayor Pro Tem Newsom and I will be there. Presumably she'll be available. We're going to be talking about that Sonic drive-in that was on Lorelei's list, which is looking to, in the case, the space that was previously occupied by Kentucky Fried Chicken. So it's a space that's already entitled for drive-in use, and has been used that way in the past. And then Homeless Services Oversight Council, the executive committee, will be meeting coming up a week from Wednesday.
Thank you. As I said, I did go to the REACH meeting 2 weeks ago, but you heard a very robust reporting on that from Lorelei. And then I had slow cog, and nothing particular to note. We are still, you know, dealing with the results of the 2020 census, and likely that we could lose that urbanized status, which means we could lose funding here in the North County for transit. So continuing to keep an eye on that, and we do have a lobbyist that is going to be working on our behalf, on slow cog's behalf, that we've found funding for. To, you know, argue the case of why we should maintain that status, and, you know, just the way that they're looking at things and the calculations that they're doing to show that it really it doesn't necessarily accomplish what they're trying to accomplish, and that it does really hurt the area and the individuals here. So we'll see what comes of that. I believe that is all on my report. I don't have any individual determinations here, but I will look to see if anybody, Councilmember
Borbo?
No,
Borbo? I had I missed making a comment. I learned
please.
That for the upcoming year, I will be the chair of the Revenue and Taxation Committee for the League of Cities.
Ah, so. Thank you very much for that.
Congratulations.
Yes, you are well suited to that. With that, we will go ahead and recess to our closed session. And so with that, I would ask our we have a city attorney, a fill-in city attorney, I believe. Hello, city
yes.
attorney. Okay,
I'm
hello.
Here.
Brian,
Hi.
There you are.
Hi.
I'm going to ask our city attorney to let us know what the closed session item is regarding.
Thank you very much. The closed session is regarding a conference with real property negotiators pursuant to government code 54956.8. The real property in question is 5970 El Camino Real, also known as APN 03018131. The agency negotiator is our own city manager, Rachel Ricard. Negotiating party is Fred C. Flume Revocable Trust. And the subject of the negotiations would be the purchase price and or the terms of payment.
Thank you. With that, are there any members of the public wishing to speak on this closed session item? You can go ahead and raise your hand in the webinar. I'm not seeing any raised hands, seeing no one here. I'll go ahead and close public comment, and we will recess to closed session. If there is a reportable action, we will report out, our city attorney will report out on that at our October 25th meeting. With that, we'll see you October 25th as we go into closed session. Good night.